From the Marketplace Morning Report, I'm David Brancaccio. We're exploring brain research, suggesting people as they get older, including those who seem fine and mentally healthy, can become more vulnerable to people who want to take their money. So, how far should we go to protect people? But I want to start with an uncomfortable truth, that often it's family that's doing the scamming.
As to the defendant Anthony Marshall, how say you to the first count of the indictment, guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
In perhaps the most famous case of an elder swindle this century, Anthony Marshall, former U.S. ambassador and Broadway producer, was found guilty of grand larceny in managing the affairs of his own mother, that victim, socialite Brooke Astor, one of New York's great philanthropists. It was her grandson, Philip Marshall, son of the man convicted, who helped expose Astor's situation.
Basically, my grandmother went from the limelight, center stage, as lead actor in her own life, to being gaslighted by her son, who psychologically broke her down into believing she was going broke.
His dad was in part convicted for giving himself a big lump sum raise in salary using Astor's money.
Well over half, and some of the research indicates it's over two-thirds of cases, are abuse imposed by family, quote-unquote friends, and caregivers.
Experts say more data are needed on what drives the exploiters, the substance-abusing adult child, the shopaholic nephew, or the person's caregiver, maybe a relative who feels entitled to the money for the love and attention they've quote-unquote invested. But as outrageous as financial abuse by family seems, how far do you really go to protect people? Because taking away rights based on age, but not necessarily competence, is discrimination. And it has a name, ageism.
Ageism is the greatest impediment to elder justice. And then when it's compounded by policies, procedures, and practices which are going to further compromise seniors, it's a huge issue.
Elder rights attorney and MacArthur Genius Award winner Marie-Thérèse Connolly has a forthcoming book called Aging Dangerously.
It's so pervasive, and it raises just such complicated ethical and philosophical dilemmas about what we want our old age to look like, and to what extent should we be entitled to make bad decisions.
She says even in the name of protecting them, seniors must not be treated as second-class citizens.
We have this balancing of autonomy and safety and privacy interests that we have to do. If you make a lot of really bad decisions, assets that you need for housing or care can be gone in a flash, and we can't just sit by.
Connolly finds this idea researchers are pushing, age-associated financial vulnerability, is a useful one, but thinks we should protect everyone regardless of age. Okay, but I asked, is it really discriminatory if, say, credit card companies amped up fraud monitoring on the accounts of older people in particular?
Why only older people?
Mark Lax is the gerontologist at Weill Cornell in New York who originally came up with the financial vulnerability label. He takes no prisoners on this subject. He thinks in the name of health, safety, and quality of life, we may have to treat older people differently by giving them special attention.
I'm a geriatrician who wrote a popular book about age discrimination. I said we're supposed to let older people have autonomy in all their decisions, and how dare us infantilize older adults. But it may be that in the same way we didn't let 12-year-olds work in factories 100 years ago, that older people might need some protections to avoid age-associated financial scams.
Analogy time. In many states, older drivers have to start reporting in person to renew licenses with extra vision tests in places. Could we develop something similar to check in automatically with people and their money as they age? But earlier this week, we heard from Chad and Kelly Schreiber, who parried multiple attempts to scam money off the elderly father. Art has now granted them power of attorney to help oversee his money. Even after all that, the Schreibers do worry about protections going too far.
Is this just a bad decision, or is it somebody being taken advantage of? The idea of taking away the financial keys, that runs into personal liberties and things like that. I should have the right to make a bad decision.
But Dr. Lax is among those willing to question that, offering this among examples.
How did we let a 90-year-old enter into a complex trust and estate agreement, purchase speculative securities without some attention to his or her cognitive performance.
This is part of the Marketplace series, Brains and Losses, the bottom line on aging and financial vulnerability. You can listen to the one-hour special and find resources including how to protect loved ones from fraud and financial scammers here at marketplace.org.